But it is good to be in the house of the Lord to thank God for his goodness to us. And Brother Buddy has already mentioned what a beautiful day outside. Now, the only bad thing I can think of, I seem to recall someplace in my past that if March comes in like a lamb, it's going to go out like a lion. So, but you know what about time? It will tell us which way it's going to be, won't it? So, as the Lord gives us a day, I say, let's rejoice and be glad in it. Take advantage of all of its opportunities that it brings to you and I. And to give honor to the one who has brought us this far in our journey and who has promised us so much more as the days go on. Hallelujah. Good to be able to speak tonight. Appreciate this opportunity to minister to you for a little while here this evening. And hopefully you will find it to be as beneficial to you as it was to me as it was all coming and to my mind anyhow. And see what the Lord has to share with us tonight. The title of my message is House Hunting. I think most of us here have had to do a little house hunting sometime in our lifetimes, and sometimes many times have been involved with that. But going house hunting can be a very stressful thing, just depend on some of the circumstances. I know sometimes we had very, very little time to make some decisions, and our selection was also very, very little, and the money we had was even smaller, but you had to do what you had to do. And I thank God the Lord gave me someone to help me with my life's decisions, because they were all our decisions, and God helped me to have a helpmate to choose and to make the best of things as they came our way. So tonight I'm going to talk about that just a little bit, and then I want to go into the Word of the Lord to try to get some better understanding of how we can all do a better job and more and more successful as we would hunt for a house of our own. It all started back in 1967. I know I don't look that old, and she doesn't look that old, but we were alive and well back then. As a matter of fact, we got all lovey-dovey in a lot of ways. And we decided we want to get married. And if you're going to get married, you got to move out of your house. At least that was the way it was in my home and her home. I mean, you're going to get on your own, you're going to be on your own. I was going to school, and she was working, and I was working part-time. And so we started our search. Yeah, we had a little bit of time. And so we picked out a place, and, you know, it was pretty nice. Well, it was when we got done. When we first got there, we had to bring the tractor up from our farm and cut down the weeds. And then the first night we were there, on our wedding night, we found out that the plumbing was plugged up. Yes, okay. So, but, you know, the time we got done with it, it was really a nice little place, and we enjoyed ourselves there, and we got to enjoy it for a little over a year. But at the end of that time frame, Laura had come along. She's a little tiny thing there that we had in our house with us, but it came time for Uncle Sam to take over part of our lives. So we wound up, we had to sell everything we had, including the car that we had. And she went back to live with her mom and dad for a while with Laura. And Uncle Sam took care of me very nicely. I didn't have to worry about food. I didn't have to worry about eating or where I was going to sleep. Matter of fact, told me when to get up and when to go to bed. So I didn't have any worries at all, did I? But that was place number two. We didn't have any money. We didn't have many choices to make. But we still had each other and we still loved each other, even though there was a lot of miles between us. The third place we wound up going to was whenever I was in tech school, and but there I could have my family with me once we could find a place, and we got to live in half of a Quonset hut. Now, I don't know, I doubt if many people here has even seen a Quonset hut, but we had one, and we got to half of it, and some elderly lady had the other half, but that was our home for, about a year, not quite a year. That was home number three. We had little time to pick out. As a matter of fact, that's the only place that I can think of that I picked out by myself, because she was up here in Indiana and I was in Mississippi. So, well, we didn't have a car either, so I had to walk. It wasn't a good time to find a place, but we did. So that became our third place to live in that part of the Quonset HUD. Finally, we finished up school and we got to go to Ohio to live, where I was stationed the next time around. And okay, I don't remember how we picked out the first place. I think we both made a trip to Ohio and looked through the list to try to find a place to live. And how many of you have ever seen a patio apartment? Well, the patio apartment turned out there was a house here, and apparently somebody else in the family had a house over here, and they built between the two of them. Well, as the families went on and things changed, that became an apartment, that became an apartment, and that became an apartment. And I must say one thing, the patio was a nice area. It had all, it was either some kind of slate or nice floors, had some flowers in it. It was all open. And so we spent one night there. And we got through the night and decided, this really isn't the place that we want to live. And so that day we went and looked, and we found home number four. Is that number four now? And it was a trailer out south of the airbase. And I don't know, what was it, 10 by 50 or whatever it was back then. I mean, it was a big one. Tiny houses are that big, aren't they? All right, never mind. Anyhow, we wound up, we moved there, and it turned out to be pretty nice. We enjoyed our time there for the most part, but we made it through. So, oh, that was home number five. Wow. We found it one day. Once again, we still had love. Maybe not much else, but we had love, and we were together. And that was important to us, be able to stay together. That was one reason why we made the Air Force the choice. Okay, from there, we wound up, we was there for almost 2 years, but not quite. So in 71 then, we got stationed down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And that was pretty nice. We got another trailer. Now, I don't remember if this was a 12-foot wider yet or not, but it might have still been a 10. I don't know. But it was nice enough, and we enjoyed being there. And it was there that the Lord talked to us and got my wife to want to go to church, and I just happened to go along with her. But the Lord spoke to both of us. And that's where we met the Lord. And from then on, we had the Lord with us. You know, and I thought about that as I was preparing this. And I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, the Lord was certainly with us from that point on in a special way. But I want you to know the Lord had always been with us. The Lord had paired us together. He had made this happen and that happen and that happen. And the Lord took care of us up till this point in time. So then, while we were there, going to church and serving in the Air Force, the church we were attending at the time had some area around us that they were putting trailers in, and we got to move into a 14 by 60, I think it was, a brand new trailer. Now, it wasn't the top of the line by any means, but it was nice compared to everything else. Lots of room, and everything went well and good. Until the next year, whenever I got out of the Air Force and we had to move back, we moved back home rather than stay down there. So we found us a place in Terre Haute, Indiana, which was a nice place. And it was a nice place to rent. And our landlord lived right across the street so he could keep an eye on us. But they were good landlords, so I can't complain about that. But you know, when you get used to moving, and by the way, this was the eighth time in 5 years. So we didn't stay one place very long, through no fault of ours for the most part, but things moved on and we did too. But all of those things, we had very little money. Most of the time we were renting because we weren't sure how long we was going to be anywhere. We didn't have much else to go for, but we made the best choices we think we could at the time, and everything seemed to turn out all right. That was in 72. We moved to Terre Haute, and in 76 we moved again. My job took me to Lafayette, where we found another house. We still didn't have much money. We just had very little time to pick out a place unless I wanted to leave her back here and I wanted to be up there. But we still loved one another and we worked things out. Wasn't too long after that, we finally bought a house there in Lafayette, and we stayed there until we moved up here in 81. And we bought a house up here in 81. We had a little bit of time to look for one, had a little bit more money so we could make a few more choices than we had before, and we had the love of God and the love for each other that made it all worthwhile. Of course, by that time, there was four of us, and that made a little difference in our choices. But God took care of us. God still had a way. And I know there's a lot better way than the way that we probably did it, and I'm going to cover on a couple of them in just a little bit. But when you are in the hand of God and you are thankful to God for what he does, he will always make a way. And that's exactly what he did. We stayed in the house when we moved up here for 38 years. And we had, yet at the years, we were not getting any younger by then. And so we had a few things we kind of wanted to do and wound up. There's a guy bought a lot across the street from where we were living and built a brand new house. And that house checked up a lot of those boxes that we were looking for. And we bought a brand new home. We'd been looking around for some time, but couldn't find what we wanted. And so this home, it was nice. It had about everything we wanted. And so we chose to go ahead and buy it. Now, one experience out of every one of these home buying things that I can think back on very well, there was one thing that was true about every one of them. And that is, if I would just spend a little more money, I could get something a little bit more what I really wanted. It just always seemed to be that way. But, I don't want to say I didn't take the bait, because that's what some of it was. Because we all like to have nice things, I think, in here tonight. But anyhow, we bought stuff that was right for us at the time. And only looking back can you be sure that that was the case. But that was our house hunting experience. 12 times we made a change. Each one of those times was an improvement over the one before. But each one of them took some thinking, some planning, and some adjusting to newness. Even though only one of them was a new house, the rest of them are all new to us and took some changing too. But what is a house? What is a house? A house is nothing more than a structure of some kind that has a use, usually for a human to live in of some kind. It can be a show home. You go looking at homes, it's nice to see the $500,000 ones because usually they got pretty much everything I want. They have everything. So, yeah, and here's the thing. If you've ever looked at those, and I tell you what, you can hit $500,000 in a home now so quick, it's almost scary. But not only do you got a home, you're probably going to have a mortgage. If you were like us, you were going to have a big mortgage. You got your taxes. You got your insurance. You've got upkeep on the house itself. And you've got utilities. Now, I tell you, a 2,000-square-foot house costs X number of run. If you got a 5,000-square-foot house, it costs you a lot more than two times to run it. It makes a big difference. And so, but that didn't cost you anything, by the way. That's a freebie on that. So, but a house to be anything else, it basically is just a structure till somebody does something with it. It's just a shell. Now you can take that shell and you can glamorize it, make it look nicer, spend more money on fixtures, spend more money on this, spend more money on that. But does it really improve the quality of it? Well, that's basically more up to the individual than anything else. If that's what it takes to make you happy and you got the money to do it, I don't have a problem with that. Just don't expect me to pay for it, okay? I got my own issues, okay? It can be a showplace. It can be a museum to somebody's past. Or you can take that place, that structure, that house, and make it your home. Make it into something that has value to you. That was one thing that my wife always did, every place we lived. Made those places a home. Whether it was part of a Quonset hut where the kitchen and the dining room table were all in the front, just inside the front door, and the bedroom, living room was around the corner there, the partition, and it had a little bathroom. Oh, thank God it had a little bathroom. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. How many of you have either lived? My grandparents lived in a nice farm out in Illinois, and from the time they retired in, 70s, I think it was, the people that owned that place never did put an indoor bath in the house. They had an outhouse. And they used to sometimes take bath out in the creamery, only because it had a nice drain. But you know, I've always lived in a house that had a bathroom, so I can't say too much. I did get to visit the other places, but so much for that. But a house is what you make it. And there are ways to make your house to where it has great value and longevity and filled with joy and peace and comfort that surpasses anything else in this world. And how does that come about? Well, I believe God gives us some important guidelines, not only in life as a whole, but even how to build your house and how to set up your house. There's a chance, there's a real, something very real about listening to God and His plan for a house that you can have a habit in. That didn't come out right, did it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Well, you're doing better than I do, but okay. But you know, a place for you to live and raise your family and everything. Okay, so, and I want to go to the book of Proverbs for that. As a matter of fact, if you're not a reader of Proverbs, I would suggest that you strongly consider that, because Proverbs just full of things about life and how to conduct your life and how to make some choices here and some choices there that will lead to great benefits for you. It only has 31 chapters. I found it useful, especially in like months of March, where you got 31 days, you read a chapter a day. Just works out nicely that way. It contains 915 verses, and each of those can tell you a lot about how to conduct your life. My text tonight comes out of Proverbs chapter 24, and it's only going to be two verses. But then I got a lot more verses that goes along because I'm not as good as the Lord. The Lord can do more in two verses than I can do in 45 minutes. So you're going to have to put up with me for a while because I got the mic. But Proverbs 24 and verse number 3 says, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches." There are three things here that I would call your attention to. Number one, you need some wisdom. You need some understanding. And you do need some knowledge. And they don't particularly have any order, except that I'm going to bring the next verse to you, which is out of Proverbs 4 and 7, and it has to do with the wisdom. And it says that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom. Now, if God tells you something's important, what's a good idea to do? Pay attention and then try to achieve it. But wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So two things already mentioned here in the verses that we read tonight point to value for you and I in conducting our lives and building the house that we want to have. James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom," okay, how many of you like to be a little smarter than you think you are today? All right. It's kind of hard to find out that you don't know what you don't know. It can be a little disappointing sometimes. Well, I know. No, I don't know that either. Okay, but if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who what? Giveth to who? All men liberally. God wants you to be wise. He has a reason for you to be wise. And upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. So you can ask it of God, and God's going to give you some, which is a great thing. It's also one of the gifts of the Spirit. But wisdom does not work just by itself. As a matter of fact, if you look at wisdom, in the book of Proverbs alone, it's mentioned in 53 verses. And in those verses, it's usually tied in with the other two, either understanding or with knowledge. And it's going to understand, basically, wisdom is knowing what to do next, given an understanding of the facts and circumstances. It is the quality of being wise. So it's a little bit of the bringing together of all those factors, all those other two factors, and being able to make wise choices, being able to see what really needs to be done. Now, I can see a lot of things, but it doesn't mean I know what to be done, needs to be done, or how to go about it even. The next one is understanding, which is the ability to translate meaning from the facts, being able to comprehend what is there and how is really important. Our world is flooded with a lot of facts and a lot of information. Is this all of it true? Not all of it's true. And being able to understand, well, okay, that, be able to put all that together and being able to understand it is a valuable, valuable asset. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So he's giving us some guidance here. You know, it's one thing to have some understanding of things yourself, and all that we come by naturally. But don't just trust on what you know. Trust in what God can give you and help you to know. Because God is truth. He doesn't lie. He doesn't deceive. He doesn't try to lead you astray. He only wants to lead you in the right way, in the way of righteousness. In Psalms 119 and 130, it says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple even." So anybody can pick this up if only they will allow the Lord to speak to them. Read the Word of God. See what it says. The entrance of His words is going to give you the light that you need to be able to conduct yourself wisely. And then the third and the final thing here has to do with knowledge. Basically, knowledge just has to do with what? The facts. Just the facts. When you read a textbook in college or high school or grade school or any other kind of textbook, you're gaining knowledge. Should be about the facts. I wouldn't guarantee that today what I'm hearing about some books, but you know. That's why you got to not only have facts, you need to be able to understand what is the scope of these facts. What are they based upon? Sometimes those facts can be very deceiving, and we're hearing more about that all the time these days. Because I can take facts and I can almost spin any kind of story I want to spin. It's terrible to say that, but that's the way it really is. So having facts is a great thing. You need facts. But to be able to understand those facts, be able to know, okay, that's right, and that makes sense, and that's according to God's word, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to take that, and okay, and that helps me to understand this whole scope. Then the wisdom comes in to know how to take that information and apply it into your life. And that's what the whole thing is about here in building your own home, making your house. You need all three of those things because each one of those is going to bring you something that one or two of the others by themselves will not do. But you bring all three of them together and God's going to give you something that is really, really worthwhile. Hallelujah. All right. just trying to make sure I stay on schedule here a little bit. Because there's so much that we can put in here. Okay, Proverbs 1 and 7. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not being scared of God, but give him a reverence because he is God. He is the creator of all things. When God says, you're not supposed to sin, guess what? You shouldn't be sinning. Now, our human nature is going to make that pretty hard to do unless you get the help of God in there. But God's always trying to make a way in your life and my life so that we do the right thing. And we are able to be successful in our walk with him. And Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So there you have all three of them put together in one verse. Proverbs 18 and 15 says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So it's a good thing to try to obtain is this knowledge that you can have and then be able to take that knowledge, those facts, be able to pick out what is really important to you at this stage, at this point in time in your life, and then apply that and be able to come forth victorious in your life. Hallelujah. Now, we mentioned three things that were good ideas: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But each one of them, as promised in his word, is going to bring us something. In the first part of it, it talks about wisdom. And that's in verse number 3. It says, through wisdom, the house is builded. In other words, if you're going to have a solid structure, if you're going to have something that's going to last, if you're going to have something that's going to be worthwhile long term, then it's got to be built right. And when you use God's ways and wisdom that God can give to you in your home, he can help you to achieve that kind of solid foundation. And also the next one is understanding. And understanding will help us to know that it is established or it is going to be long lasting. You know, it's not going to be just here and there and gone. You build your house upon the Word of God, and you're going to find that it's going to stand no matter what the world throws at you. And you're going to live long enough. If you live long enough, you're going to have about everything thrown at you one way or another. That's just the way life is. Because you see, all those things we've talked about so far, it's about life. Life is ever-changing, ever-evolving into something else. I haven't always been 75 years old. And if I live much longer, I won't be. I'll be 76. But that's the way life is. We got pictures in our bedroom of both of our high school graduations. Once in a while, my wife will look at me and says, where did they go? Well, life happens, folks. Life happens. So all those three together is going to help you. But if you get understanding, it's going to be something that's going to be established. It's going to be long-lasting. And with knowledge, and this is the one I really enjoyed, it says with knowledge, the rooms are going to be filled with what? Awe. Everybody say awe. Awe, precious and pleasant riches. Now, that sounds like a happy home to me. Sounds like a home I'd want to be a part of. And why not? Hey, I tell you what, you put God in the center of your home and you will find out everything is going to work out all right. Everything is going to be just the way it's supposed to be. He's going to give you the wisdom to know, yeah, shouldn't do that. No, no, I don't care what everybody else says. And boy, can you find out what everybody else says these days. Yeah, you can, hey, pick up your phone. Well, whenever I used to pick up a phone, I used to pick up the, what was it? You had a headset. Yeah. Turn the crank. You had the thing here you spoke into. And whenever you did all that, somebody had to let him say, hello, what do you want to do? He says, I want to go to Three Shorts. Don't you know that you could have done Three Shorts yourself? This is for long distance calls. Yeah, I know it's 10 miles away, but that's long distance here. That's the way it was, too. It was crazy. But yeah. You know, phone now, you can look at it. You can find the weather. You can find the weather in California, Timbuktu, I don't know, probably someplace else too. You know, you can do all kinds of things on these things. Get all kinds of information. Is that valuable to you? Are they facts? Yeah, they're facts, but are they valuable to you and what you need to know? Well, only you can answer that at that point in time. All right, I'm going to skip over some verses here and move on to something else. Now, you guys care if we quit early? Because I got the next part of mine says closing. Yeah, it's only 4 pages long, so no, it's not that bad. Okay, all right. So I'm going to go on. Okay, let's go to Matthew then instead. Make it a little bit easier back here in the back. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 27. Because I tell you all of this because, you know, when God is in your life and in the things that you do, He's always going to take care of you. He's going to tell you the good things. He's going to tell you the bad things a lot of times. That's one thing I like about the Psalms. David will talk about, it's not going my way, Lord. And when things go his way, well, not always, even though he was a servant of the Lord. Yet, he had to deal with those things because life happens. Life happens, whether you're young, you face things, you go through things, or whether you're old, you go through things, or middle-aged. We all go through things. But here in Matthew, he gives us something. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things. What does that tell me? Well, it tells me something not everybody's going to listen. You ever try to tell somebody something about the word of the Lord and they didn't care or didn't listen? He says, okay, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and next 3 words, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended. Well, life happens. And the floods came. Ooh, that's not good. And the winds blew. Anybody had any rain and wind lately? And beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Now, that's well and good. I mean, you got your house built on a rock. What are you building your house on, folks? You know, each one of us makes that choice. Every day we decide whether it's going to continue on that, going to be continued built this way or that way, or whether, okay, you know, it's an easier way, right? Okay, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Okay. You don't ever want to be on the fool side of things. Which built his house upon the sand. What's the advantage to building on the rock and building on the sand? Sand's a lot easier to dig your foundation in, I'll tell you that. How many of you have ever dug in hard clay? Not much fun, is it? How many of you have ever dug in rock? That is even worse. Okay? It's not easy to do the other one. Sand, okay, it's good. You can lay it out there, a couple of shovels full, and you got something 3 foot deep or whatever you want to go to, and wow, you can go along there. But there is a price to pay for ease. And a lot of this in our life, what we're talking about right now, has to do with what is easy to do or that which is a little more difficult, but it pays dividends. I can go buy me a cheap tool set. I've had some. I usually busted my knuckles, or the wrench broke, or it took me 4 times as long as if I had a good set. But if you buy a good set of tools, guess what? The nuts don't round off very easy on a good tool set. I don't care how bad they are. They will hold. They will not break. As a matter of fact, you can beat them to death and most of them still won't break. But that's the difference between a good one and a not so good one. And a one that's not worth hauling home. But that's what a fool does. Fool does. He does it because it's nice and easy. Can you make a house on the sand look as good as the house on the rock? Well, yeah, you're still building a house. It can look like everything is all right. and maybe much faster too. And you sure didn't have to spend a bunch of money on the foundation. But what happens here? As winds blew and beat upon that house, and what happened? It fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, we can read these verses, and I'm sure many of us here have read them many times before and heard them many times before, and we still come to the same conclusion. Well, I don't want to build my house on the sand. I don't want my house to fall. And yet we go about it the next day. We're not careful. Sliding here, sliding there. Forget to do this. Forget to do that. And pretty soon, you got an unstable foundation to build your house on. If you don't know what God wants, you sure can't make it right. But if you know what God's want and you ignore God's warnings to you, does that mean that the problems are not going to come? No, you just ignored God's warnings. And whenever you ignore God's warnings, guess what? And it fell. And you don't want yours to fall. You want your house to keep on going, don't you? Hallelujah. Well, got one more set of scriptures. Got one more twist in this. We've been talking about a house, but we can also make that true for our life, certainly, and how we build our lives and structure our lives. If you do it through the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom that God can give to you, then you're going to be very, very successful. And the beautiful part about this, you know, I covered our house hunting over 55, 57, almost 58 years. Different places, different times, different situations, different circumstances. And if I can do it, I don't plan to move again. But you know, the best is really yet to come. The best hasn't showed up yet. I haven't even seen the best yet. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. In verse number 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Is there anything in the world today that troubles? It's not a good place right now. Not only is there problems in the other parts of the world, which we've always been kind of used to that, but there's problems around home now and crazy things happening. But he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus is the one. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now, should we say tiny houses there? I don't think so, do you? Should I say temporary living quarters? No. He says there are mansions, you know? And whenever you talk about God who has all the cattle on 1,000 hills and he knows everything and made everything, and when he says it's a mansion, I guess I'm going to accept it as being a mansion. Going to be really, really, really nice. And he says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Well, I didn't know about it in the first place, but I'm glad he told me now. "I go and prepare a place for you." Who's preparing a place for us? God is. Jesus is. When he went to Calvary, he opened up that door, and if you choose to go through it, great. If you don't, then all these things are just sideline issues. But if you go through, these are all for you. And guess what? That's the last verse I have tonight. "But oh, what a house we have coming. There will be no more hunting. I won't have to worry about any kind of payments on anything. I won't even have to worry about the electricity costs. Because it says that Jesus is going to be the light of it." Hallelujah. Everything is going to be provided. And not only that, is there going to be any sicknesses up there? No. Now, who doesn't want to go to heaven? Think about it again. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want to go to heaven? I want to make sure I say it right. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Well, how many of you want to go to heaven? Of course we do. We want that house that Jesus has prepared for us. God bless you. You can stand with me at this time. Hallelujah. I want you to go there and enjoy your portion in the big mansion that God has for us. And you know, I don't know how many people's going to be there. I know that the place is big by estimates that I've seen. What is it? Is it 1,200 miles long, wide, and tall, or is it 1,500? Anybody remember? 1,500. That's what I thought. But, you know, I didn't want to exaggerate, brother. I just wanted to be safe. Can you imagine? One time I calculated, I don't know, I might even still have, calculated how many square miles that would be. Now, my house has about 1,800 square feet in it. I can tell you that would fit in there. No, I can't calculate how many that would be in there off my head. But nevertheless, God has that all prepared for his children. And he's going to take care of each and every one of us. House hunting? Well, yes, I guess we ought to continue house hunting until we get over there on the other side. Until we get to that royal place that he has prepared for his children. Hallelujah. Well, God bless each of you. Let's join together in prayer and ask God's blessing upon us as we dismiss tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy and kindness and love. Thank you for your truth, Lord, that you have brought to us. Thank you for your word, Lord, and this exceedingly great and precious promises that you have bestowed upon us as your children. Tonight, help us to walk uprightly before you, Lord, taking advantage of all the knowledge and all the wisdom and all the understanding that you can bring into us that we may walk a successful and holy and righteous and upright life before you, my God. And God, please, smile on each one. Keep us safe as we travel home tonight. Do bless this church and bless all the members. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.